Good morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in. It is a very pleasant Tuesday morning. I am joined by my once monthly guest back in studio to talk about all things regarding the Fairfield Police Department. It is Fairfield Police Chief Keith Cocklazier. Good morning, Keith. How are you today?
Good morning, Bruce. I'm doing wonderful today. It's not raining for the first time in 3 months that I've came.
It is. I hadn't really considered that, but you're absolutely right. It's a dry, clear day, and that makes it easier on everybody, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Keith is out here, like I said, once a month, and we'll go ahead and settle the bet here first. I've already paid.
I saw it. I witnessed.
You witnessed. That I've already paid Lynn Wells. Now, and the bet, of course, if you heard the end of the morning show between Lynn and I bet that Keith was not carrying a pistol. And Lynn bet that Keith had 3, 4, or 5 pistols. So we set the over-under at 1, and Lynn took the 1, and I took the 0. But we have settled the bet. Keith is not carrying 3, 4, or 5, but you do have the service revolver going, or not revolver, the service pistol going, don't you?
That is correct.
Do you carry that at all times?
I do while on duty.
Do you?
And I didn't drive home to get it either. I wouldn't do that to you.
I appreciate that.
I would not do that.
I appreciate that. But do most you're quite a bit more administrative now than you ever used to be.
Yes.
For the first 15 years of your career, you were a detective than the patrolman. Do most police chiefs still carry weaponry?
Yes.
Do they really?
Yeah. Every training I've ever gone, I've seen one carrying them.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you still have to go to training as the? I mean, you still do go out in the field occasionally, I guess.
Oh yeah, we have two guys on at all times, but you always need that third in case something goes on.
Yeah.
More the merrier. But yeah, we're as police chief and assistant chief, we're required to have 20 hours a year of training.
Where do you go for that, or how's that handled?
A little bit of everywhere. Been to Mount Vernon, Springfield. That's about far. I've been to Indianapolis. I've been up there for a few classes.
What are the refreshers? I mean, what are they training folks on? I guess the training now is probably quite a bit different than what it was whenever you started 15 years ago.
Well, on the administration side, you have hiring and discipline and liability and stuff you just really don't worry about when you're driving around town looking for small stuff.
Yeah.
A little bit... I guess bigger chair, I guess.
So there's a different kind of training for police chiefs as opposed to your standard troopers, then, or not troopers, patrolmen.
Yes. Yeah.
Involving, do the patrolmen have a regular training as well, I guess?
We try to send them. There's actually a new law coming in January 1st where they have to have training also. But all the way up to this time, it's only been police chiefs and assistant chiefs.
Uh-huh.
I have mandated training,
right.
20 hours a year. With this new Police Community Protection Act, which is basically the Body Camera Act, there is more training that has been mandated by the board or by the state for all officers, which is a great thing.
Oh, absolutely.
We try to send our
guys.
Who's
going to pay for it?
We do.
Okay, I didn't know if the departments themselves paid for that or how that worked.
Yeah, I just recently sent Detective Titzer to Chicago for some computer classes. Unfortunately, with the state budget and all the stalemates there, our local training team in Carbondale has basically shut the doors.
Is that right?
And that was free to us. We paid like $60 a guy is all we paid. It was a great deal for the whole year.
To go to Carbondale?
No.
As opposed to going to Chicago where you probably had to end up paying $500 to $1,000.
Right. Well, this mobile team unit, we pay $60 an officer a year, and they can go to any class for free.
Wow.
That's held down here or any other MTU throughout the state. You're invited to them also. So it's a great deal. The budget, like I said, it impacts everything.
Is it whenever the budget comes back, is that program going to return, you think?
We hope so. It is attached to citations written in the state of Illinois, how they are funded.
Yeah.
But all that's on hold due to the budget crisis. But, yeah, it is a very valuable thing for small departments. You know, we're at the Liberty where I can send a guy to Chicago.
You need to clear.
But that's not always accessible. Like you said, you get hotel rooms, travel.
I go to Chicago. It's $1,000 a weekend, you know, just for if your hotel rooms and meals.
And then you got to backfill that shift to make sure we have coverage on the road. So, yeah, you're looking at $1,000 time you send somebody to a 2-3 day class.
That's probably not even counting the cost of the class.
Right. And then last week I went to Carterville, one of the last MTU classes, free of charge. I had traveled down. I drove back same day, and it was done.
Yeah. All you missed out was you're probably out your lunch.
Yeah, little phone calls and missing at the desk and breakfast on down and lunch back.
Sure.
That was it.
Well, that's amazing that, well, of course, we're talking about the state of Illinois, but you'd think that they might recognize that and the differences that this is making.
I'm not sure what's going on there.
Well, you mentioned also just moments ago the Camera Act.
Yes.
What's the name of that again?
It's a Police Community Care Act is what it's actually titled.
Police Community Care Act. Mm-hmm. And is this the Body Camera Act that will permit you guys to wear body cameras or will force you to wear body cameras?
It's not mandated at this time. I predict, and a lot of people I've spoken with, within 3 to 5 years it will be mandated.
Oh, really?
We actually we have a pilot program in our department right now. I have one guy wearing one as a trial to see how it all works out.
How long has he been doing it? Who is it?
Officer Musgrave. Sergeant Musgrave.
Sergeant Musgrave?
Yep.
How long has he been wearing one?
About 2-3 months.
Really?
But the act coming in, there's a lot more. You know, it's not just, okay, you can wear the camera. There's a lot of times where you can record, can't record.
See, that's the thing. We talked. I think we talked a little bit about this last time you were here, but not very much. We didn't touch on it too deeply. The tricky parts of that are when you have to turn the thing off. I think, right? Aren't there periods of time that you cannot have it on?
Basically, if we initiate a call in somebody's house, that's a threshold that we can't go across. You know, if it's an emergency situation, then yes.
Yes.
But if we're just walking up to say, hey, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
I heard.
You're basically, it's an interview.
Yeah, yeah. I heard you may be doing this in your house. Yeah. That's across the threshold. Emergency calls, we can activate it. It's supposed to be running. The new law says running at all times.
On the car, presumably.
Well.
Those always run, right?
Ours do.
Okay.
We have the car videos right now. And like I said, we're looking at instituting the body cameras as backup to that. The CARE Act, or Body Camera Act, wherever we want to call it, says that basically the body camera will run at all times with a 30-second buffering. Basically, once you officially, it's always recording, but once you hit the button, it will get the previous 30 seconds.
Really?
And then it's got to remain recording during that incident.
Okay, it's only keeping the last 30 seconds. It's like whenever you, if, to explain it to somebody who may be listening and to re-explain it to myself so that I understand what I'm saying. It's like your TiVo.
Yes.
Whenever you turn your TV on, you've got the last hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And you can always go back and hit record to hit whatever you want to see on your last hour and a half. That's in your case, can you adjust the 30 seconds to longer than that?
Well, we can adjust it, but state law mandated the 30 seconds.
Oh, I see.
So after that 30 seconds, it starts over. It is kind of that loop until it's officially activated. Then it records it into the bank.
I'll be doggone.
So
whenever you do activate it, you're activating at that point 30 seconds before.
Yes.
Okay.
And same way with our car cameras. You know, you're out on patrol. You see somebody, hypothetical guy, is driving down the street.
Yeah, just like this morning.
And hypothetical guy may run a stop sign.
Occasionally.
And
you see, that's the thing. You took down the stopper, be fine.
That was just additional warning.
Oh, I see. Okay, I can still be fine, can't I?
Stop still means stop.
Yeah, okay.
so we're approaching the same intersection, and
you see it.
This person drives through.
Sure.
I can reach up. It's actually on our camera switch. If we turn the lights on, it comes on automatically.
Uh-huh.
Or you can reach up and hit the record button, and then you get that whole 30 seconds before, so it would show that driver approaching that intersection.
Really?
And then go through it.
That's great information. I had no idea how that worked. No. Hypothetical guy.
They wouldn't do that.
Great information to hypothetical guy. Let's put it that way. I always wondered how that worked because, you know, you you've heard the car cameras have been in cars for years.
Yes.
For the last 10, 15.
Ever VHS.
Ever since Cops, for crying out loud. Yeah. That probably put more cameras in cars and police cars than anything else, the TV show Cops. I always wondered how in the world do they get these wrecks or something or whatever they're taking? Because I didn't figure that they ran them all the time.
Yeah, they're constantly, technology's flying at this age.
Wow.
This day and age. Like I said,
that's how the Russian people all got pictures of the meteor.
Yeah, I understand that most people have cameras in their cars in Russia.
Isn't that something?
That's new to me.
Makes you wonder why. But you live in that society. That's maybe interesting. You would.
Yeah. You know, maybe history might dictate that. I'm not sure.
Oh, that's pretty good. All right, I'm going to ask you about when we're going to take a short break here. This is the Bruce Dickey Show. I'm going to ask you when we return. A little bit more about the Camera Act and the Body Camera Act. I'm fascinated by this and how the new law will take effect. This is the Bruce Dickey Show. I have Keith Cocklager in with me. You're listening on AM 1390 and WFIW FM 104.9 Fairfield. Back in a moment.
Oh, the shark bait has such teeth there, and it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Maggie, babe, and it keeps it out of sight. You know when that shark bites with his teeth, babe, scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves, though, wears old Maggie Heath, babe. So there's never, never a trace of red. Now on the sidewalk, ooh, Sunday morning, lies a body just oozing life. And someone sneaking round the corner. Could that someone be Mac the Knife? There's a tugboat down by the river, don't you know, where a cement bag just drooping on down. Oh, that cement is just, it's there for the weight you dare. Five will get you 10, old Mackie's back in town. Not to hear about Louis Miller, he disappeared, babe, after drawing out all his hard-earned cash. And now Maggie Heath spins just like a shell. Could it be our boy's done something rash? And old Lucy Brown. Oh, the line forms on the right, babe.
Good morning, folks. Welcome back to WFIW. Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390, WFIW FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in. My guest across the way is Keith Cocklager, Chief Fairfield City Police Chief Keith Cocklager. And we've been talking about body cameras and how that is most likely coming to a police station near you. And one of the things that you see on the end of it, and I bring this up because of what's going on in Chicago today, they've indicted a police officer for murder, basically, because and the timing of it is a little bit odd. The timing of the indictment.
A year later, I believe.
Well, a year almost to the day, because I'm presuming some kind of Freedom of Information Act was going to kick in and release the film, the video of what the incident was. What are the requirements of police departments to release the videos and that kind of thing? Can they only release to victims? Can they only release to media? Can they only release to attorneys involved in the cases? How's that work?
Freedom of Information Act, transparency for all government bodies is what it is. We get several of them.
Is this part of, is this going to be part of that body camera act as well?
There's part of it. Well, everything we do is Freedom of Information Act.
Yeah, okay.
If you want to go the body camera specific.
Well, I guess that's right. I guess everything that you, mm-hmm. is part of the, at the office is through, can be accessed through the Freedom of Information Act. We saw that last year with the silly emails and that the idiot cops were sending each other in Ferguson.
Correct.
The embarrassing emails. Let's put it that way.
Yes. Yeah, everything. There's a few exceptions that we can redact, day of births, addresses.
You guys not sending jokes over email, are you?
No. No.
Just saying.
No.
learn the lesson.
Well, business purposes only.
Absolutely right.
So we'll go with the body camera. I assume that's where you're kind of going with the question.
Yeah, just kind of wondering.
The act coming is the body camera's footage will be kept for 90 days by state law. Now, that time period can be extended on certain circumstances, whether there's evidence on the camera, on the film, or on the video footage. Use of force incident will automatically be flagged. They call it flagging, and preserved.
And that's what physical contact is, the use of force?
Yeah, any use of force, all the way from hands-on up to taser, baton, pepper spray, all the way up to deadly force.
Yeah.
So those are automatically flagged and kept and archived. And then either 2 years or the end of the trial and appeal stages. So, I mean, technically they'd be kept forever. So now if somebody would request footage, there's several steps with the body cameras that we have to go through. Basically, we have to get signed permission from the person that's on the video as well.
From a bystander.
Well, bystanders or the victim.
Or the victim.
Yeah, so there's a lot of paperwork involved at the end. If they sign off on it, then we have to go through and redact or blur out faces, license plates, property numbers, anything.
That takes a little bit of expertise.
We have not crossed over it yet, but we are in the research phase. Like I said, kind of a pilot program. There's a lot of back-end stuff that comes with this act. Times have changed in law enforcement. Used to, police officer's word was gold.
Sure.
That's changed over the past 20 years, 25 years. And, you know, as we talked earlier, there's bad eggs in every profession.
Right.
And people.
Well, we talked earlier, we mentioned that during the break.
Yeah. And, you see these big city stuff. Sometimes it pays to live in a small community where everybody knows everybody.
Right.
We are honest people.
I'd like to think so.
Yes.
Like to hope so.
Yes. And but the things that happen in the big cities also happen in the small cities.
Sure.
To a different scale, maybe for a little farther spread out on time, not every night incidents.
Yeah.
But we have the same crime.
Sure.
It's just not as frequent, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, I don't get no good. Well, there's fewer. Well, I don't know what the percentage is. With only 5,500 people or whatever in Fairfield right now versus the number of people in, say, St. Louis, for instance, has 100. They've had a record number of murders or something in 2015, or will have with the next one. I think I think they've tied.
Yeah.
And the next one is going to be a record.
It's sad they make that a goal.
No kidding.
Some towns.
No kidding. But but we're fortunate we don't have that kind of thing.
Yeah. So back to the deal. There is a lot of steps to get a video released. There's a lot of steps involved in the Body Camera Act.
If I'm just just Joe Blow, and I see something in the paper, somebody I know got a ticket. I can't just go request a Freedom of Information release of that information, can I? Or how does that work? Does that have to be media?
Anybody can.
Anybody can.
Media is a special division. Any arrest They call it a blotter is what they call it.
Okay, the police blotter. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the old school terminology. Yeah,
sure. That's what the city guys would hit, the city news guys every night would hit the police blotter.
That information is available to news media within 72 hours of an arrest.
Okay.
Period.
Yeah.
You don't have to file a paperwork. You know, we work with WFIW and we give that information to them, the same as the Wayne County Press. But if a citizen wants to know something about somebody, they can file a Freedom of Information Act. I have 5 days to respond to that request. And like I said, there's exemptions. If a case is still ongoing, if it will, like I said, you don't want to give out date of birth, social security numbers, emails, phone numbers, addresses. A lot of that information can be redacted.
Yeah.
But there's a handful of exemptions that I can withdraw. But basically, we provide that information if there is a request. Goes back to the transparency.
Wow, that's wild that that anybody can see anything.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's the American way. This is this is Bruce Dickey. I'm talking with Keith Cocklazer. We've been talking about a variety of things today. I did have one question, the most important burning question of the day, other than whether you were packing today, which I lost the bet. Who washes the cars? You didn't hear the show. We were wondering who washes the, because I needed my car washed. And and do the police officers go down there washing the city garage, or do you have the city garage guys wash the cars?
We have a few officers that will run through them car wash, but basically the maintenance department will clean them.
Just wondering. It was an interesting thought to my head.
Yeah. We're trying, like I said, this new program with the trucks. We're trying to keep them up. That way we can pass them down there
to
the departments.
That's the thing. You need to keep the paint on the trucks. And right now, I just drove through. I just drove through rock and salt and all kinds of things over the last 2 days, or last 3 days. And I better get my car through the wash here pretty soon, or I'm going to get chewed up.
Well, you probably everybody's seen the city cars, our black and white squad cars that we did have, some state police cars. There was a little bit of a paint issue with a few squad cars.
Okay,
that was an error in the. Bidding process, I guess you would say.
Oh, is that right?
That's what that was.
I never realized that. Yeah, I thought it was just bad paint or something like that.
Well, it didn't bond with the metal.
Really?
Somehow. So that's why you see a lot of the old cars are just peeling.
Yeah.
But no, we're going to try to take good care of these. Like I said, before the program was instituted with the vehicles now to rotate to other city departments, we would put 125,000 city miles on a sedan.
Wow.
And basically it was done for.
Yeah, it would be.
And then we'd pass them on to the auxiliary police, who would do parades and Halloween patrols and just a lot of sitting around putting more miles and hours on them. Didn't last very long.
How long do they, what's the goal? What's the goal on the number of hours and or miles on a, I mean, you have to throw it in your budget to know when exactly you want to rotate a vehicle.
That's correct. We worked on that yesterday, actually.
Oh, really?
Our
how timely.
Yeah, very good. What were
I didn't even
for?
Know that. I'm good at this, Keith.
You're very good at this. You should have your own show.
Exactly right.
So what we're ballparking is 3 years. It's going to put you about 75,000 miles.
Okay.
You get to the point you put 100,000 miles on a vehicle.
Yeah.
Interstate, you'd probably be all right.
Right.
You know, you got state troopers that drive interstate highways, not a lot of stop and go.
It's the stopping and going that takes.
Well,
and
the idling.
You know, oh, really? Okay.
You get a city officer who's, you know, monitoring traffic or got the car running at a call.
Yeah.
And
you leave them running at the call because you need some of the information out of there probably and need to leave everything hot in case you got to run.
So, I mean, there's a lot of hours on these vehicles. So we're ballparking 3 years and then send them to another city department where they can utilize the truck aspect of it, you know, barricades, hauling tools and everything. Just I think that in the long run, it will show that it's a good program.
Yeah.
Already we've noticed a difference in gas, believe it or not.
No kidding.
Our gas bill's down for the year.
Well, now,
compared to the cars.
Is your gas, have you looked at your mileage pardon me, not your mileage, but your number of gallons bought in addition to, because it's cheaper gas this year anyway than last year.
Yeah, well, I look at the bottom line on the budget just to see where we kind of stand. Yeah. Yes, it's cheaper right now.
Yeah.
But most of the year it hasn't. I mean, yeah, it hasn't been $4.
Six, you're right, yeah.
I mean, it was still around the...
Probably, it was still 2.5. Like, yeah. And it was 2.5 most of last
year. Yeah, we got 2.5 to, up to...
3.
Yeah, close. But yeah, that's going to play into it too.
Sure.
But we're looking about 25,000 miles a year is what we drive. Now, the average person drives between, what, 12 and 14?
Yeah.
But these vehicles are run 24/7. So we have 3 shifts, 8-hour shifts, and those cars are ran all the time.
So folks are not – so somebody doesn't have their own truck?
We do not have our own. We call what they call hot seating. So.
Used to have your own sedans, right?
No.
No, okay.
The city police have never had their own vehicle except for the administration.
I see.
So basically,
which administration is basically one of the old used.
Yeah, it's just a hand-me-down.
Right.
So basically, for 8 hours, this officer's driving around. Then he'll go pick up next guy, drive for 8 hours, and just every day of the
year. See, now that I didn't realize because I guess I didn't. I was gonna. If you sit there and count vehicles, you don't have enough vehicles for everybody.
Yeah, we have 2 trucks, and number 3 goes on the road today.
Is that
right? It's a stripe.
Get paint ready. Job all back. Everything's done. Huh?
It's ready to go.
Is it the same color as the other two? The silver.
Yep, exact same.
Wonderful, wonderful.
So now we'll have 3, and then 2 Missouri cars that are 2001. So they're going to be 15 years old. So we get the good out of them.
Yeah, that's what you're driving.
That's what I'm driving. I carry a can of spray paint with me.
Probably not. Well, you see, now that might be that vehicle might be old enough that the paint on it isn't coming off because it wasn't in the new batch where the paint came off.
It's,
right?
It's peeling worse than the rest of it.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Well, that's the cost of doing business, I guess. I've got Keith Conklager here. We're talking things over with about the Fairfield City Police. When we return, we're going to get the Chief Conklager warnings about Black Friday. I tell you what, it's amazing to me that it's required, but it really is, isn't it? Yeah. And we'll talk again with Keith when we return here on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Back in a moment.
Now somewhere in the black mining hills of Dakota, there lived a young boy named Rocky Raccoon. One day his woman ran off with another guy, hit young Rocky in the eye. Rocky didn't like that. He said, I'm gonna get that boy. So one day he walked into town, booked himself a room in the local saloon. Rocky Raccoon checked into his room, only to find Gideon's Bible. Rocky had come equipped with a gun to shoot off the legs of his rival. His rival, it seems, had broken his dreams by stealing the girl of his fancy. Her name was McGill, and she called herself Lil, but everyone knew her as Nancy. Now she and her man, who called himself Dan, were in the next room at the hoedown. A Rocky burst in, and grinning a grin, he said, Danny boy, this is a showdown. He drew fast and shot, and Rocky collapsed in the corner. Proceeded to lie
Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Bruce Dickey here. My guest this morning is Keith Cocklaser, Fairfield City Police Chief Keith Cocklaser. And I only really was three-quarters or half or one-quarter joking whenever I said that we have Black Friday warnings coming up. But I got to tell you, you know, I've been out of state. Occasionally, I'm going to be out of state again, maybe on Thanksgiving or Black Friday. And I've been out of state where when there were news reports on Thanksgiving night as I'm driving home about riots taking place at stores. What are you talking about? Is there going to be an increased presence on Thanksgiving Day or Thanksgiving or Black Friday morning?
Well, they keep moving back. It used to be, what, 5 a.m., 6 a.m. was when they opened doors?
It used to be 5, and then... Then the next year it'd be 4.
Yeah,
and
3.
Then they started saying, well, you got to take some kind of, you got to get your ticket in line or something.
Yeah.
Like whether if you're going to be eligible to get that TV for $25 or whatever it is.
As with, we talked about crime being shared amongst the big cities, the same concept. Yeah. We have had scuffles at our local.
We have had Black Friday scuffles
yep.
at our local
Somebody
places.
Cutting in line. Grabbing off a pallet before it was cut, we have it too. So we've started walking through in the mornings.
Wait a second.
Yes,
hold on a second. You can't be telling me that can't. You guys have to make walkthroughs at some of the busier businesses in town. I presume.
Yeah, one of them. That I'm sure
yeah,
you can
one
picture.
One of them. Yeah.
But they fill that complete parking lot. Of course, I've been on the road since the old Walmart was there.
Sure.
And I remember parking at the fitness center,
up
and down the restaurant there, out the old exit going west.
Oh, really?
A lot of people go shopping the day after. But, yes.
Do you?
I do not.
I do not also.
I've been there once on duty, walking through.
How'd you get out of that?
Oh.
How'd you get out of doing it ever again if you only did it once?
You become a boss.
Must have had some folks.
You get moved to investigations.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. No investigating.
Yes, we
no real investigating needed when you see somebody standing there with an uncut pallet and you see them holding the Happy Day Barbie or whatever world they've got in their hands.
We've increased over the past 3 to 5 years. Basically, we noticed that. It's not to the level of the rioting, but you do have the arguments.
I gotta tell you, Keith, you just never know.
You never know.
Because it was 2 years ago, I was over in Terre Haute for Thanksgiving. And we were leaving Terre Haute, this was a Thursday night, and all of a sudden these reports started coming across. Menards in Evansville has a riot or something going on. Walmart in Evansville has people shoving and pushing and shoving. Mm-hmm. Radio people were, news guys were live on scene and all this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Radio and television news guys. You just never know, I guess.
Yeah, we have it.
So what are you going to do? You say an extra presence?
Yeah, well, what we did in the last 3 to 5 years, basically we have guys walk through. And I think they've fine-tuned it. They've figured out I don't know if the ticket system works. Like I said, I've never physically been in line to get a ticket.
You don't want to?
I don't want to. I'll pay the extra $20.
Pay the extra, yeah.
That's
me. Yeah, I would too.
That's me.
It's worth my time not to do that.
Well, yeah.
God bless the folks who will do it.
Yes.
And different strokes for different folks. It is highly, I value my time a lot more highly than to do that kind of thing and push and shove
for a
Barbie Jeep.
Small TV, small clock radio.
Yeah.
They're going to make more. But that's my opinion.
Yeah.
But we ask people to be patient, be cautious. There's going to be a lot of vehicles on the road Friday, not only traveling to family, but to buy for Black Friday.
I didn't even think about that. You know, there's going to be folks on the road, all kinds of people.
Yep.
What is the biggest travel day? I always used to say that Wednesday of this week was the biggest travel day, but it's really not anymore with Black Friday becoming such a big deal.
Yeah, I know. Several people go to Evansville to shop, so just everywhere, you know. The only thing we could say is, like I said, be defensive driving because you never know. One thing that I will throw out there is when you do buy your stuff and you put it in your car, put it in the trunk – or cover it up. That way nobody can see it.
Yeah.
Lock your cars.
Yeah.
You know,
it'd be kind of a ruination of Christmas, wouldn't it?
And we talked about that earlier off the air. That's happened in Fairfield. People have lost Christmas gifts because they failed to lock property or a vehicle.
And once you get, and that's a difficult case to investigate. You can't find that kind of stuff usually.
It's tough when you give them access.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you break a car window, you usually get blood or something like that. You get a little CSI going on, but you pretty much leave that door unlocked, and they're quicker than you think they are. Yeah. I'm just going to go in for a few minutes. You come back and...
So you're telling me I need to leave my to quit leaving my car running outside?
Running and unlocked, that'd probably be a bad combination.
Well, it's supposed to be warm, so even if it's raining, it's supposed to be warm on Friday, relatively warm. So that'll maybe keep the let folks keep the door or keep the doors locked. Now, also, and I'll ask you kind of a trick question, since you said you don't do the shopping. On the Black Friday, do you ask some of your troopers or patrolmen to pick you up the TVs since they're going to be in there?
Well, now that we have the trucks, you know, might be able to slide that in the back. No.
Well, that's good.
I have a wonderful wife who has done that.
She goes out there.
She's gone out.
I have heard of that. And, I've heard such stories.
And she pretty much saves my bacon when it comes to Christmas. So.
That's wonderful, too. That's wonderful, too.
Yeah, we just, you know, it does happen. Just try to keep your calm and
lock your, and you can't say it enough either, for that matter, Keith. We talk about, you mentioned the cars. Mm-hmm. You mentioned trunk, putting the gifts in the trunk, and or covering up with a blanket if you can't fit stuff in the trunk. Cover it up in your vehicle so people don't get the temptation.
Yeah.
That's the problem. But also, for that matter, it's probably high time, again, to tell people to make sure they lock their garages.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, well, you know, time's changed. It's, when's the last time you think you put a video camera on a cop?
Yeah,
but
never would have dreamed of it 25 years ago.
But, you know, people window shop houses, they window shop cars, not just the businesses when they're walking by, but, you know, it's a pretty easy target. You know, you got merchandisers that, you know, they have the alarms and everything. It's a lot easier to go out in the neighborhood. Well, that car, that, you know, $100 in the console. Look at there.
I'll be doggone.
Yeah, so we get that. Unfortunately, we've had firearms taken from cars. Gifts is the next thing.
That's a thought. Have you ever thought about, or do you have a suggestion for travelers who have their firearms in their vehicles and say they're going to valet their car? I was at a hotel this weekend and I valeted my car. What do you suggest to somebody? I don't have firearms right in my vehicle, but some folks probably do. Do you suggest people to take it with them into their hotel rooms, or are they leaving the locked case in the car, or just you're kind of trusting the hotel there, aren't you?
Yeah, well, it's a trick bag all the way around. You know, you're responsible for that firearm.
Yeah.
There's places where you can't take it in.
Yeah, surely.
You know, you're supposed to lock it in the trunk, secured, or in the vehicle.
Yeah.
It's just, you don't know if there's a good suggestion, but you really have to be mindful, because if that weapon gets stolen,
it's yours.
Well, not only is it gone, but you could be held civil liability.
Yeah, you might be responsible
if that weapon's used in the course of a crime.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of responsibility when it comes to concealed firearms.
Right.
You know, the state allows
it. You see, that's the thing. Some folks probably may not think of that all the time.
Well, in
you think the first thing you think of, okay, I've taken the safety course.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to handle a firearm. I'm pass with flying colors.
Good to go. Yeah.
You don't think of everything where you might leave the box out on the on your car seat.
Then you travel to a different state. They have different rules governing concealed firearms.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of research you got to keep up with. You know, safety is number one, but you got to be mindful so you don't get yourself in trouble, too.
Speaking of safety number one, we don't have a ton of time left. The Christmas parade coming up. Where's the what's the detour?
Same detour. If you're coming in from the east, traveling west, you will turn south, which would be left.
At 4th.
at 4th, which is Joe's Body Shop area, the courthouse.
And you know, that really works pretty well, doesn't it? Because you've
witnessed it now.
I've seen it now. The parade is able to still make that corner, and folks are still able to turn south at the same time.
Yeah, so you're skeptical.
I was. I am a skeptic. You know that. You've been here for the last 20 months or so, Keith. You know exactly that I'm skeptical.
Yeah, we turn them left there to go south, down to Center Street, up to 1st. And if you're going south, you just turn left on 1st. If you're going to go north or west, you travel on down to 7th Street. Just continue straight.
And we're talking about the Christmas parade coming up on December 5th. And one of the other things that I think is smart in this Christmas parade, or in this parade, since it's a night parade, I don't know whose call it is, but it's a good idea that the kids have to, the folks have to hand candy to kids as opposed to.
They've been doing that as long as I can remember. Like I said, the Kiwanis do a great job. I would like to remind people that we've started a new thing after the Oklahoma State Parade issue with the lady driving into the crowd. When we line the parade up, we block traffic off a block away from that route to keep the cars and traffic away from the lineup, because you're going to have people running around trying to get last-minute things on a float.
Right.
So we're going to keep people a block away from that main lineup.
So really, so you basically will be able to park on – what is that, Epworth?
Epworth and 2nd Street on the east side of 1st Street. But it's going to be shut off that whole area just so everybody knows in advance.
See, now that's a smart thing, and that's good of you to tell us that. I should have brought this up earlier because that Oklahoma City situation was, or Oklahoma State, was just amazingly awful.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go over that again. If you're lining up for the parade, you can go ahead and bring your vehicle that's going to be in the parade to the parade route.
Yeah,
but if you're like redoing your float or something, the other traffic can't get through.
Yeah,
right?
The Kiwanis ask you come in from Northside School, which is a great program. They will line you up. If you're dropping off somebody, you're not going to be able to drop them off at the float.
Yeah.
If somebody needs assistance with a...
there'll be somebody with mules we're probably driving around.
Yeah, or if it's obvious that they need to be close to that float, we'll get them up there.
Yeah.
That way they don't have to walk a complete block.
Sure.
But safety's number one. We can't prevent everything, but we'll prevent what we can.
Well, I tell you what, that's coming up in about 2 weeks from Saturday, or a week from Saturday. Oh, my gosh. It's a week from Saturday.
Fast approaching.
Safety first.
That's right.
Thanks, Keith. That's Chief Keith Cockledge. Appreciate you being on. We'll talk to you all again tomorrow. Scott Boyette, the big guest tomorrow on the Bruce Dickey Show, and we'll be back then. Thanks for listening.
Wishing our friends and family a joyous holiday filled with peace, love, and prosperity. From all the gang.